want to change things in Washington, then vote blah, blah, blah for bloopity bloop. Blah, 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 voted to keep blah for blah. Vote for blibbity blah. Strong on blah, not weak on blah, blah, blah.
I'm bloopity bloop, and I approve this blah.
This message paid for by the blah to blah, blah, blah.
There we go. Wake him up. Welcome back to Rosie on the House, having a little fun this close to our wrap-up of the campaign season. We had a great guest on at the 7 o'clock hour, Dr. David Dean, history professor from Grand Canyon University, talking about the dirtiest elections of American history. And boy, there were plenty of them. So we've always promised you that when you tune into Rosie on the House, we're going to be your happy place. We're going to be that place you can come to and not have to get discouraged or drive up your anxiety, and that's exactly what we're about doing this morning. But we are having fun with the election. We're broadcasting live this morning from an event called the Arizona's Fastest Trowel on the Block, and it's a amalgamation and a collection of masonry contractors from all over the state of Arizona that bring their fastest trowels to see who can walk away at the end of today having the title Arizona's Fastest Trowel. We only thought it was appropriate to be here today in the campaign season because there'll be a lot of mudslinging.
Stay tuned. We got more of those coming. We got them all lined up. If you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text to 411-923 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com.
And they will be slinging the mud here at the Fastest Trowel. We have a couple special guests that are joining us this hour. And we've got Mr. Steve LeClaire, the masonry sales manager of Oldcastle Superlight. Steve's been on the show before. Steve, thanks for taking time out of your duties. You got a pretty busy lot here this morning.
It is, and it's a lot of fun. The weather's changed in November, and it's great to see everybody out here today. It's good to see both of you as well.
How many blocks are on this property right now?
You know what? It's in the millions.
I believe that.
Between blocks and concrete pavers and segmental retaining wall, a lot of bag goods. It's a good facility for us.
Y'all have had this facility for about, what, 9 or 10 years?
It initially started off with a bagging operation and a block plant back in the mid-90s.
Okay.
And we've expanded it over the years to include two different block plants, the bagging operation, and a big board paver production facility as well.
Well, we've broadcast from the live Fastest Trowel contest on several different occasions. It's always fun to see these guys. Now, you just announced the start of their first step. Why don't you talk a little bit about what we're going to see here today?
Yeah, exactly. So we really got essentially four different competitions going on today. Mike, in just a little bit, will talk a little bit about workforce development, actually a lot about workforce development. He is passionate about that subject. But we've got 14 apprentices here that are at various stages of their apprenticeship program that are competing, as well as 25 high school students from six high schools
throughout
Arizona.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to start feeding. It's a fantastic industry, a great way to make a living, a great way to really contribute to this state, and it feels wonderful to be able to see those kids or those young adults out here competing and really growing into a craft that will be a lifetime
In the category, a journeyman fastest trowel, how many contestants will you have in today's event?
So for the main competition today, for the fastest trowel and block competition, we've got 18. And okay, those teams are represented by a mason and then by a tender as well. They'll be judged for it's not just how many block you can lay. And because Mike is a past judge, I'll let him talk a little bit about each of the criteria that they're judged on. But we've got 18 competitors out here. The winner will go on to the national competition in Las Vegas in January. And we've had several past national winners come out of the Arizona competition. We're pretty proud about that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, the world of masonry. Let me introduce Mr. Mike Sutter, founder and president of Sutter Masonry. Mike, I've known your name. I've used your company over the years, and we've never met. So it's good to finally meet.
Good to meet you, too, Rosie.
Your company and your reputation precedes you.
And thank you very much for coming out and joining us today.
Oh, I love it. And you're also this year National Chairman of the Masonry Contractors of America.
Right. I'm Chairman of the Mason Contractors Association of America, which represents Mason contractors all over the United States, probably about 750 Mason contractors. And it's not just the big guys. We have mom-and-pop operations along with the largest Mason contractors in the United States are part of our group.
Well, I've told people for years that, you know, we've been a Masonry supporter since the beginning of the show with our good friend, Mr. Clem Hellman. And, you know, I love to draw. That's one of my pastimes. And I love taking pictures of old wooden buildings from the historic West, you know. But, you know, if I find a 150-year-old building, that's really old to draw. But then you go down to Casa Grande Ruins. Masonry structure, 600 years old.
Yeah, and that's just an example of something close by. I mean, you go to look at the Egyptian pyramids. Those are thousands of years old, all masonry. The Taj Mahal, the Great Wall of China, those will last forever.
I once did a significant remodeling project for a woman up in Gainey Ranch, and she was German. And near the end of the project, we had gotten to be good friends. She says, Rosie, do you know why they only build masonry in Europe? I said, no, why? She says, because by law, the contractors have to guarantee the building for life.
Oh, my. Yeah. If you told the, if that was the law for current builders, this place
they'd
would
all go out of business.
This place would look a lot different.
Isn't
so that? Why don't you work on getting that law, Rosie? That'd be a great help to us.
Yeah, you know, our show isn't about scare tactics, but you know, I live fairly close to the Desert Ridge area up on the 101, and we recently had a hotel under construction up there that was a multi-story wood frame building.
Every day when driving home, I look at that. I'm like, what a waste of material. What a waste. I cannot believe they're putting that much money. And one day I drove by, and it was gone.
Almost gone, Rosie. Almost gone. The only thing standing were the masonry stairwells and masonry elevator shafts. Everything else was just a couple-inch deep pile.
Do y'all know whatever happened? Was that how that started? Or
I don't know how it started, but look at the...
I know how it ended.
Yeah, look at the hotel right next to it. Look at the... I forget what hotel it is there right next to it.
I think it's a Holiday Inn.
Yeah, Holiday Inn Express. It's been closed ever since. I mean, it burst out some windows when that fire was burning, but it must have done much more damage because all the windows in the whole hotel are boarded up. They got a trash chute coming out of there. It's been closed ever since. So I assume that they suffered major damage from that fire.
Well, you know, I challenge people all the time. I said, hey, you know, there's a reason fire stations are built of masonry.
In schools.
You never want to call at your own address, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, if you want to build a structure and not worry about fire, you build it out of masonry, and that is fire departments and schools, the top two that come to mind.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, and wood framing seems to be going higher and higher and higher. I know a builder here in town that recently completed, I think it was either a 4 or 5 story dormitory that was entirely wood framed.
Pretty scary, isn't it?
It is for me.
If it's a dormitory and your kids are in there, that's pretty scary situation. Recent apartment fires that have happened. One of them, we were actually on the job site, not at the time, but we were contracted to do work out there. The fire started, and it was 5 3-story buildings, and they literally went up in flames in a matter of a couple hours. I mean, devastating. It damaged many of the homes around there. When the fire department comes, it's too dangerous for them to fight. All they do is try and stand back and protect the homes around there. I mean, it was so hot, it blew out the windows in houses down the block. It melted the bumpers off the cars that were parked in the street, and it actually melted the street. That's how intense these fires are.
Well, yeah. And fire resistance is really only one of the advantages that masonry has over the other forms of construction. I tell people all the time, look, if you're going to invest in building a house, invest in a way where you're not going to have to spend the weekends in the near future caulking and painting I said, let's get a masonry house put up. Let's get a good aluminum frame, wood window. Let's get a metal roof. And let's put a house up that we don't have to touch for 30 years.
And you talk about scary situations. All the ones we've had here recently, there was three in the last year, apartment fires that burnt totally to the ground, many more across the country. If you want to talk scary, just think if it's an assisted living facility. Just think if your family's inside one of these units, and those people don't move very fast, and the fire goes up so quickly that the fire department is afraid to go in there, how fast are they going to be able to get all those people, all those seniors, out of there? There hasn't been a loss of life recently in any of these big apartment fires.
Thank goodness.
But we all know Amen. It's bound to happen. It's Amen. Bound to happen.
Well, you've recently been in D.C.
Right.
What are the national concerns on the masonry industry?
Nationally, it's even scarier because the wood industry is trying to lobby the codes and allow them to build, if you can even believe this, 30-story structures. They have one they're trying to get in Chicago right now, 30 stories out of wood. They say they're putting a retardant in the wood so it will burn more slowly. And
that makes me feel safe.
That doesn't add a whole lot of confidence, yeah, that's for sure.
Imagine being up on the 25th floor.
Well, but it's a slower burning wood.
Exactly. Perfect. Makes perfect sense.
Well, you know, the Register of Contractors just on Thursday had their National Career Day. On the national topic scene, what are we going to do about workforce? Now, we're going to have to take a little break here for just a couple of minutes. But when we get back, I want to talk about it. Because if I was a little younger man and a little bit smarter, I think I would go in. I would open a little strip center right on the border at Nogales, and I would find some way to fast track these people that want to come into this country and work, and yet it's taking them 6 to 8 months and it's costing them nearly $10,000. That's a crime. But we're not going to talk politics. We're just going to talk workforce when we get back at Rosie on the House.